लिखी ग्रंथ राज श्रीमद भागवतम लिखी कौन थे मतलब टर्न ऑफ दैट मशीन For those of you that don't wear garlands so often, it's not so comfortable that the little string that goes in the back of your neck is just string, and then it chokes your neck. Depends on how heavy the garland is. Here. You can fix it, okay, thanks. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 I'm going to read this morning from Canto 3, Chapter 15, Text 40 through 42. 40 through 42, and nice title of the chapter: Description of the Kingdom of God. And the scene, starting with text 40, is Lord Narayana has come in a big hurry because he got word, or because he's a mission. He knew that Jai and Vijay were going to be cursed or had been cursed, because it's not really clear from the text, by the four Kumaras, because the four Kumaras took it that they had offended him and gave their reasons why, and they cursed him, saying, "You don't belong in the spiritual world. You're seeing in terms of duality, and those that see in terms of duality, there's no place for them in the spiritual world. You should go to the material world and become embodied soul." So then they prayed, or petitioned, to the four Kumaras, "Please don't cause us to forget Krishna, or forget the Supreme Lord." Because embodiment can mean that. It can, identification with the body, it results in forgetfulness, ignorance, ignoring, and forgetting. Being embodied doesn't necessarily require that you forget, but they petitioned in that way. And then it's described immediately. Didn't even put his shoes on. Didn't ride on Garuda. He just immediately came, and the goddess of fortune came with him. And so now the description, starting with text 40, is features of the form of Narayana, just in case you ever wanted to know. Because people that don't have this access to transcendental knowledge in Srimad Bhagavatam, what idea do they have of the form of the Absolute Truth? No idea. Speculative idea, but no real idea, or formless, or whatever their ideas are. So here, mercy is coming in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam to hear and recite the form of Lord Narayana. Different features. We heard already, actually, previous verse. Both his smile and his glance completely cooled the situation down. He saw both the offender and the offended as his devotee, and saw them with affection. And they knew that the Lord had affection for them just from his smile and his glance. So there hasn't been any conversation back and forth yet, at least recorded here. Now we have a description of his form, paraphernalia, Pita Amshuke. He was adorned with a girdle that shone brilliantly on the yellow cloth covering his large hips. And he wore a garland of fresh flowers, which were distinguished by humming bees. His lovely wrists were graced with bracelets, and he rested one of his hands on the shoulder of Garuda, his carrier, and twirled a lotus with another hand. The report here is a full description of the personality of Godhead as personally experienced by the sages. By the way, its earlier verse says, this same person who the four Kumaras saw in their trance of meditation, Lord Vishnu, now they saw before them. Very interesting. Because commonly we hear the four Kumaras were Brahman realized. They're Brahmavadi. And then there's a text that says they were Paramatma realized. And now it's Bhagavan realized because the Lord comes, shows his form. And the Lord in previous texts said he considered them his devotees. So it's not that just they were Brahmavadis from his perspective or meditators that saw in their heart of hearts Paramatma, but his devotees. The Lord's personal body was covered with yellow robes, and his waist was thin in Vaikuntha. Whenever there is a flower garland in the chest of the personality of Godhead or any of his associates, it is described that the humming bees are there. So not only here, but also there. All these features were very beautiful and attractive for the devotees. One of the Lord's hands rested on his carrier Garuda, and in another hand he twirled a lotus flower. These are personal characteristics of the personality of Godhead, Narayana. Text 41 has no purport. His countenance was distinguished by cheeks that enhanced the beauty of his alligator-shaped pendants. Pendants normally means like something that you wear on your cloth or that you hang on your neck on a necklace, a pendant. But otherwise, shark-shaped, he's usually described as his earrings. But anyway, here Prabhupada's calling it pendant. Which outshone lightning, shark-shaped pendant. His nose was prominent and his head was covered with a gem-studded crown. A charming necklace hung between his stout arms, and his neck was adorned with the gem known by the name Kaustubha. Text 42. The exquisite beauty of Narayana being many times magnified by the intelligence of his devotees was so attractive that it defeated the pride of the goddess of fortune in being the most beautiful, my dear demigods. The Lord who thus manifested himself is worshipable by me, by Lord Shiva, and by all of you. The speaker is Narada. No, excuse me. Who's the speaker? The sages regarded him as unsated, with unsated eyes, and joyously bowed their heads at his lotus feet. Brahma speaking. The beauty of the Lord was so enchanting, purport, that it could not be sufficiently described. The goddess of fortune is supposed to be the most beautiful sight within the spiritual and material creations of the Lord, semicolon. She has a sense of being the most beautiful, yet her beauty was defeated when the Lord appeared. In other words, the beauty of the goddess of fortune is secondary in the presence of the Lord. In the words of Vaishnava poets, it is said that the Lord's beauty is so enchanting that it defeats hundreds and thousands of Cupids, and therefore he is called Madana Mohana. It is also described that the Lord sometimes becomes mad after the beauty of Radharani. Poets describe that under those circumstances, although Krishna is Madana Mohana, he becomes Madana Daha, or enchanted by the beauty of Radharani. Actually, the Lord's beauty is super excellent, surpassing even the beauty of Lakshmi in Vaikuntha. The devotees of the Lord in Vaikuntha planets want to see the Lord as the most beautiful, but the devotees in Gokula or Krishna Loka want to see Radharani as more beautiful than Krishna. The adjustment is that the Lord, being Bhakta Vatsala, or one who wants to please his devotees, assumes such features so that the devotees like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and other demigods may be pleased. Here also, for the devotee hyphen sages, the Kumaras, the Lord appeared in his most beautiful feature, and they continued to see him without satiation and wanted to continue seeing him more and more. One of the prayers in the Canto 10, Chapter 2, Prayers of the Demigods. The demigods give a reason for the Lord's appearance. He hasn't appeared yet. He's still within the womb of Devaki when they make these prayers. But in addition to the so many other reasons, like the reasons given in Bhagavad Gita, when there's dharma shaglani, or discrepancy in dharma, the Lord appears, or those three reasons, pritranaya, sadhunam, etc., he appears. But they give a reason that's very similar to this description. He appears to make it very clear to the observer that his that there is this totally different picture of reality between material and spiritual, and in the spiritual realm the Lord has formed. He appears to dispel that misconception or ignorance. And of course the other reasons are also there to attract the hearts and the minds of his devotees, as is emphasized here at the conclusion. So, really clear, the Kumaras are devotees. At least at this point, they're devotees. And a description comes when they came to the gates, the aroma carried by the wind, the aroma of the tulsi buds and sandalwood paste at the Lord's lotus feet entered into their nostrils, and just that smelling, boom. Yeah. So they had no material attraction, like Shukadeva Goswami, no material attraction, but attracted to the aspects of the personality of Godhead, in this case, the fragrance carried by the wind. Then what to speak of seeing the form of the Lord. Emphasis, anything else I'm going to say is in relation to the form, the Lord's form is spiritual. And his appearance makes it clear. Those who aren't devotees don't see. Pashyati na pashyati. They see, but they don't see. So when he makes his appearance, that the potency is there, but if one is, one's consciousness is averse, one is offensive towards the Lord and his devotees, no one cannot see. Like deity worship, or the holy name, or Srimad Bhagavatam, or the form of Narayana. Of course, the form of Narayana, you have to be qualified just to see the form of Narayana in the case of Vaikuntha. My goodness. But sometimes the Lord very mercifully appears in this world. And when he appears in this world, one of the reasons is to make it very, very clear. His form is all spiritual. It's all attractive. So back and forth, this Vaishnava dialogue about who's more attractive. Radharani is more attractive. Madan Mohan Mohini. And here, Krishna is more attractive. Okay, well, which is it? She's this potency, so, you know, doesn't get over it. He can have her appear to be more attractive, or he can be more attractive, and so here he's more attractive. His beauty, super excellent beauty. More and more and more these days, just like yoga has become popular, big time popular, it's like a little mini industry. Yoga studios all over the place, not just in this country, all over the place. Similarly, meditation. Kirtan has already become popular. There's a lot of people out there that don't have a clue what they're doing. But the musicality of it and the experience of it is something that they like. So people that are materialists, people that are impersonalists, people that are just musical, kirtan has become popular. And now meditation. Meditation is becoming really popular, connected with yoga or not. So when presenting, knowing that's like a wave out there, persons like myself are trying to catch the wave, to connect with something that people are interested in, and that from our side connects with Krishna Bhakti. Universal is this question, what's the meaning? And of course, we can say, Prabhupada explained it very clearly, even if one doesn't know the meaning. Very, very effective. In his words, it creates an atmosphere of auspiciousness. There's a little video clip that some devotees in the UK put together with Prabhupada explaining Henry Street, Brooklyn. Was in the audience. There's this little video of Prabhupada speaking from the Vyasas on there, saying essentially, the Hare Krishna movement started with nothing except the mantra. It was detailing. I didn't even have a drum. And then later, he made some hand motion, a little drum. But at the beginning, it was just Mahamantra. And the Mahamantra creates an atmosphere of auspiciousness. That is, even if people don't understand what any says, even if they don't understand the meaning. And that's how this worldwide organization began, with that one simple thing. So, Prabhupada had faith. Now, he also had Srimad Bhagavatam and a transcript for Bhagavad Gita publication that somebody stole and had to do it again. He had the Bhaktivedanta. At that time, actually, there wasn't the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust. It was the ISKCON Press under ISKCON. But, you know, his intellectual property, we can say, his translation and commentaries, and prasad. He even says, and we didn't even at that time have prasad distribution. It's just the holy name. Kaboom. Hare Krishna explosion. So people asking, when you are engaged in doing this, you'll find, what's the meaning? People ask. So it has to be kept very simple. But here's from the Bhagavatam, a very nice explanation, elaboration on Krishna's means, all attractive. Of course, Narayana is an expansion of Krishna, but all attractive. All attractive. It says details of that all attractiveness, but how can words capture the all attractiveness? It says features, and somebody else may wear an actor in a drama or a Bollywood, you know, film might dress yellow, but the attractiveness of Krishna is the all spiritualness of Krishna. And the conclusion here is the Kumaras. Of course, Brahma, Shiva, the demigods, everyone who saw the sages, meaning the four Kumaras, they couldn't stop seeing. This word satiated is nice. Satiated is like when you've eaten to your full capacity, you just can't eat more. Or you're thirsty and you drink until you're not thirsty anymore. But even material satiation, and then it goes away and then you want more. But spiritual satiation, there's no end to it. And very key element of the spiritual position is the pleasure of the personality of Godhead. So, what was the pleasure of the personality of Godhead when the Kumaras cursed Jayavijay? I mean, if they need to be reprimanded or punished, you know, go and speak to Narayan and say, hey, gatekeepers, they're out of line here. Send them to the material world. They didn't do that. They did something else. But of course, because they were such quality devotees, they did what the Lord wanted. It was part of that. All of this is a plan, or a lila, of the personality of Godhead to do many things, to provide fulfillment of his secondary rasa of chivalry. Are you familiar with this? Rasa tattva, five primary, seven secondary rasas, one of the seven is chivalry. Jai Vijay, knowing the mood of Narayana, prayed to him privately. Our dear Lord, we know that you like some combat, part of your nature, but who is there who can be your combatant? But if you so desire, we can do that. So knowing that they wanted to serve the Lord in that way, the Lord facilitated they could serve him in that way. But their prayer was, we don't want to forget you. Now, they weren't engaged in bhakti, which is remembering favorably. They didn't pray for that one. Similarly, Grandfather Bhishma, taking a vow to kill Arjuna. How is that for the pleasure of Krishna? Favorably. Because of the secondary rasa position. Because he knew Krishna would protect Arjuna. He knew he couldn't kill Arjuna because Krishna would protect Arjuna. Because Arjuna is so dear to Krishna that he took this vow. Because he knew that Krishna would do that. He made me break my vow, I'm going to make him break his vow. Now, is that for the pleasure of Krishna? Sounds like get back mentality, not pleasure of Krishna mentality. But it gave him great pleasure. And because Krishna, when Krishna's body was being pierced by the arrows of Bhishma, secondary rasa. Happiness. Doesn't sound like happiness to us. We don't like getting pierced by arrows. Prabhupada's explanation is a king will sometimes, commonly it was common, they would keep powerful wrestlers and go and tussle with their powerful wrestlers. And the wrestlers would have to give them a tussle. And the king would like it. Just like a brahmana, happiness for a brahmana is austerity. For a king, happiness for a king is combat. And within Krishna is everything. What he likes. From his devotee. From the non-devotee, then he was, you know, in kind, he reciprocates. Oh, you wish to be my enemy? Okay. It's a deep subject matter, rasa, but we should understand the Kumaras were devotees. And the whole situation is to help Narayana, fulfill a desire he had, which the instrument of which was Jai Vijay, so they could fulfill what they wanted. And everything was in order. So the discussion can go back and forth, and in upcoming verses it does. Did Jai Vijay commit an offense or not? And did the Kumaras commit an offense or not? Because later they're going to say, we offended your devotees. We shouldn't have cursed, but it's too late to curse. We made a boo-boo. Our mistake. We've offended you because we've offended the devotees who are at your feet. We've offended your feet. Please forgive us. So, consideration can be given back and forth, and all of it is a lila. On this grander picture of the plan of the personality of Godhead. Somehow. It's hard to understand the plan of the personality, but Bhishma Dev says, don't even try. But acharyas, they disclose things anyways. At least some pieces of the puzzle. We can't expect to understand all the pieces of the puzzle. Other than the pleasure of the personality Godhead is everything. When bad things happen to good people, is that the pleasure of the personality Godhead? Puzzle. He doesn't enjoy, doesn't derive pleasure. He's not mean-spirited to see people suffering. But it's the house of correction, not just house of detention. Durga. Interesting. Durga is her name, and Durga means prison. She's in charge of a prison. So the material world is a prison. Not a nice place. But then what's the purpose of the prison? Restrain people, they're going to go out and hurt other people, and to correct them. So that's the purpose of suffering, to send people back to the position of taking shelter of the Lord's lotus feet. Even if it's initially, I don't want to suffer. But you know, some people don't understand suffering is suffering. Because they don't know what real pleasure is. It's just part of life. Anyway, the modes of nature are unpleasant. And there's a position, there's an alternate position. The Bhagavatam wants to take us to that alternate place. You just have to say yes. Take shelter. Any discussion? Yeah.
Maharaj, we see that in the Bhagavatam, or especially in this particular verses, of the six opulences, beauty is always seem to be the most explained verse or emphasized verse. Is there any particular reason why?
No. I don't find it necessarily like that. I don't know. I don't find it like that. Power. Normally, you know, Almighty, from a Christian conception, Lord God Almighty, Aishwarya. So, all strength, that big emphasis, all strength. I'm not sure I agree with your, you know, premise. Yes.
Thank you for the nice talks, Prabhupada Maharaj. Bhagavatam was mentioning about the four Kumaras as Brahman realized. Is there any reason why impersonal was not used, the word impersonal?
It's more formal to say Brahman realized. And it's not a big topic in Bhagavatam or Chaitanya Charitamrita. However, there is this distinction between impersonal, realized, or the impersonalist and a Brahmavadi. You know. So, they were Brahmavadis, so if you say impersonalist, it may be confusing. They were Brahmavadis. So, realized in Brahman. It's a language use at the discretion of the author. But they were Brahman realized. It's not incorrect to say they had realization of the impersonal feature of the Lord, but it's more precise. Brahman realized. A realization of the Brahman feature of the Lord. Yeah.
Maharaj, so the four Kumaras were Brahman realized. They were not Bhagavan realized. How could they even enter the Vaikuntha planet?
Because, first of all, they're at the gate. But it's described. At the gate, the fragrance of the tulsi and manjaris at the lotus feet of Narayana the fragrance was carried, entered their nostrils, and they became attracted. Their attraction for Bhagavan future became awakened by that udipan, by that stimulation. Okay? We don't know the detail either. I've not read any of the detail of what their father taught them. That's another feature. Perhaps. But this one thing is mentioned. Yeah.
The reason why I asked was, I read, I'm not sure whether it's Brahma Samhita, but it says that the spiritual planets are protected by tridents in all 10 directions.
Yes.
And that prevents the Brahmavadis even to enter the planet,
yeah,
even to get into the gates is
what?
Secondary.
No. I'd like to, before responding, I'd like to go back and look at what Bhaktisiddhanta writes and Jiva Goswami's commentary says before responding. Because you're bringing up a detail. Not unimportant. But how can you even get to the seventh gate if the tridents are there to keep people out? Anything else? Yeah.
Manja. Sometimes I wonder, and there's so much description of the spiritual world and about what happens, how it is, and how the spiritual world is,
okay.
The description.
Okay.
But at the same time, I wonder, at least I can talk at myself, that I'm not even qualified to even, I don't even have the taste for chanting as yet. So how much important it is to really understand the spiritual world as a spiritual
world? Well, by hearing. You hear in it. Clears the ignorance. It's knowledge that's already there, it's just awakened. Clearing the ignorance is the starting point, and then the knowledge is awakened. We forgot. So it's reminding us, hey. So understanding comes in a more mature stage. The initial stage is just a purification from hearing. So just hear with faith. Faith in the source, and thus, you know, faith in the narration, although I don't really understand it. It's similar to this comment Prabhupada was making about the holy name. One may not understand the meaning, but it creates auspiciousness. And Prabhupada would encourage, try to understand. So we try to understand, but we know, gee, I'm covered. I forgot. I've got a lot of ignorance covering me, but let me continue. Like that. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.